Can anyone hear the birds singing this morning? Yeah? A few of us? Okay. Well, I've been noticing that the birds are singing more, a lot more than they were in January anyway, and the days are getting a lot longer. Is anybody looking forward to spring? Well, I am. There was a guy the other day I was chatting to, and he said, I said something like, are you looking forward to spring coming? He's like, it can only come too soon. I don't know if you read the email that Pastor Nathan sent out. The email for this weekend's sermon was, is there more? Does anybody here think that there could be more? There could be more. As most of you know, Pastor Nathan has traveled east to New Brunswick and has taken some of his family there. So some of the kids have stayed back here in Thunder Bay, and we've had the chance my wife and I, to take care of them some. And I was chatting with Lucy this morning, and I said to her, I asked her if she thought there was more that God could do. And she said, absolutely. And then she went on to say, she's like, you know, but I feel loved. I feel loved by God. I feel loved by my parents. I feel loved by you guys. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many of us could say that this morning sitting here. Would we say, I feel loved by God today? I feel loved by those around me? And today, as we look at, is there more? The first thing I would say is, if this sermon doesn't bless anybody else in the room, it's a sermon to myself. It's already blessed me. But my prayer is that it would bless you richly and deeply. Have you ever thought about, what if Jesus was sitting right beside you in the pew this morning? What if he was your coworker? What if he was your brother or your sister? Do you think you might turn to him and ask him some questions? And that when you asked him that question, you might expect like the one answer that would solve the issue? Well, I certainly have thought about that. I've certainly wondered, like, and if Jesus was just like right here with this issue, I would love to ask him that. I would think that the person that's dying, he might touch them and they'd be raised up. I might think that my friend that's struggling would just no longer have that struggle. I might think that I would just have victory immediately if Jesus was right here. Now, I think that one reason that I would think this way, and maybe the rest of you too, is that we have friends that need healing. We have people that are struggling with addiction, maybe ourselves. We have cases where we want justice to be brought. We wish that peace would flood our homes and our communities. We wish that COVID would be stopped. We wish that wars would cease. We wish that we were made whole, completely whole. Another reason that I think that we can ask this question is because, personally, maybe sometimes we've seen our own story of deliverance. I have. I remember quite a few years ago, in my early 20s, I was struggling badly. I was in a deep depression. I've told this story here before, but just to summarize it, in a deep depression for a year, I was removed from the workplace. I went to the doctors, and I really thought that there was no hope or no purpose. I knew there was a God, but things just weren't connecting. I was full of sadness. The doctor looked at me, and he said, are you happy? And I said, no. He said, well, you got to get happy. Have a good day. Now, that funny story, so to speak, doesn't account for the suffering that I went through. And I remember one night kneeling beside my bed and calling out to Jesus. I had stopped reading the Bible and I'd stopped praying. And that night, well, I wouldn't have known it was that night, but that night something radical happened. Within the next few weeks, I was filled with a joy and a peace that I cannot describe. The grass was greener, the sky was bluer. Something had radically changed. My environment hadn't changed. I was in the same community, doing the same things, and yet everything was brand new. There had been a miraculous, like, reached down of God into my life and he had pulled me out. And I mean, that's why I'm here today on the stage in Thunder Bay, because of that moment in my life. But I would wonder, as we sit here this morning, if most of us could easily relate to things like feeling discouraged, feeling sad, maybe feeling anxious, feeling overcome by the sin or the weights that just constantly drag us down, pull us down. What if we just feel tired with life today? What if we feel distant from God? What if we prayed and we prayed? See if this will stay on for the rest of the sermon here. And we're not seeing answered prayer. Does anybody relate to that today? Does anybody relate to feeling that way today? Well, I certainly do. And so, as I said earlier, this sermon is to myself. Well, I've been reading through Isaiah. Megan, am I going to need to fix this? All right. Thank you, Gene. I don't really do this every day, so don't know what I'm doing up here.
Can I get a piece of tape for you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right. So recently I've been reading through Isaiah. And has anybody here read Isaiah? All right. So the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, I have struggled reading. I love people. And when I read through the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, there's a lot of judgment. Thank you. There's a lot of judgment in there, and there's clearly this picture of God being upset with the people there, okay? The people at the time are they're not walking in God's ways. They're not showing justice to the orphan and to the widow, and there's a lot of judgment. I personally struggle with that. I struggled with reading that. And as I got ready to get up to this week, I was feeling this way, just struggling. And then I turned to chapter 40, and I want to talk about chapter 40. So if you have a Bible, open to chapter 40. And sometimes I think of like myself as preaching today, as I'm like the DJ in the room. I'm hoping that by the time you leave today, you are all amped up at stuff that God can do. That's what I'm hoping happens today. So if we look at chapter 40, we're going to read... should be on the, or if we have a slide, it should be on the slide. Starting at verse 1. And just listen to this. So listen, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah have been judgment, people not following God's ways, and chapter 40 starts. And just listen to the tone in this. If this doesn't give you a shot of, like, something, I don't know what will. God says this, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." Now, as I read this, I want to imagine that you're Jerusalem, that you're the Jerusalem in this passage. I don't want you to get stuck on, like, understanding everything in this, but I want you to hear the tone. And just let the words, like, wash over you. And then another thing, notice that Israel hasn't exactly changed their ways. They're still doing the same things. They haven't repented. And this is God's message to them. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, 'Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills, straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken.'" And we'll jump down to verse 10. "Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes." Sorry, that was meant to be chapter 41, verse 10.
We'll jump over there. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. And then jumping to 42, verses 1 through 9. And so I'm hoping that you're getting a picture. I'm hoping you're getting a picture of this first 39 chapters of Isaiah, this message of judgment, and suddenly this tone shifts. Something is happening. Something is happening now. Look at my servant whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. He will not falter or lose heart until justice prevails throughout the earth. Even distant lands beyond the sea will wait for his instruction. God the Lord created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks the earth. And it is he who says, I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you. And I will give you to my people, Israel, as a symbol of my covenant with them. And you will be a light to guide the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols. Everything I promised has come true, and now I will prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens. And then we'll jump to chapter 43, verse 1 through 13. But now, O Jacob. So just imagine again, those chapters 1 through 39, tons of judgment, people not repenting, turning to God. And then these tones. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through waters of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours, because you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from east and west. I will say to the north, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It is I who created them. Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together. Assemble the peoples of the world. Which of the idols has ever foretold such things? Which can predict what will happen tomorrow? Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can verify that they spoke the truth? But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me. Believe in me and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been, and there never will be. Yes, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First, I predicted your rescue. Then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Do you believe that? Do you believe it as you put yourself there as Jerusalem or as the object of those kind things that God has to say? Do you believe that that would be true of you? Do we actually believe what that said? And so I took those few passages that we read and I summarized it. And that should be on the next slide up here. So I broke it down a little bit. We serve a God today, all of us, to those of us that have called on the name of Jesus, who says your sins are pardoned, who says the valleys are filled in, who says the mountains are leveled, who says the curves are straightened, who says the rough places are smoothed over, who says the glory of the Lord will be revealed, who says that he is with you in the rivers of difficulty so that you do not drown, who says he walks with you in the fire of oppression so that you are not burned, who calls you precious, who calls you honored, who says about you, I love you. Who tells you that you have been chosen to know God? Who says to you, no one can snatch you out of his hand? Who says, no one can undo what he has done? Who says, don't be afraid, I am with you? Who says, don't be discouraged, I am your God? Who says, I will strengthen you? Who says, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand? Whose mission is to bring justice to the nations? Who won't crush the weakest reed or put out the flickering candle? Who will bring justice to everyone that has been wronged? A God who will never falter or lose heart until justice fills the whole earth. Who gives breath to everyone? Who will take your hand? Who will guard you? Who is going to make you a light to the nations? Whose messenger is going to open the eyes of the blind? Whose messenger is going to free the captives from jail and release those who sit in dark dungeons? This God who calls your name. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that list and I look at the way that I might relate to God on a given day, I actually feel convicted. I feel convicted that I spend a lot of my life going around thinking, without really thinking, that God is losing the battle. But when I look at something like this, and I see the things that God says that he's up to and he's doing, does anybody else want to serve a God who says, I'm not going to ever settle down until justice covers the whole earth? Who says, I call you loved? Who says, I call you honored? Who looks at our lives and doesn't even wait in this case for the people to turn to him, but says, I have chosen you for this. I have chosen you to call you to myself. I have chosen to take your right hand and guide you. Now, who wouldn't want to be a part of a plan like that? Who wouldn't want to be part of having a relationship with this God who is going to do these things for us? And so my question for us is, in a sense, very simple. Do we understand who we are serving? And I chosen just a few passages from Isaiah today, but I could list, well, maybe 1,000, at least 100 more places in the scriptures where God shows us how he is for us. That phrase, he is for us, comes straight from Romans 8. God is for us. He is not against us. Number 6, there's this famous blessing where God is desiring to shine his face on us. Deuteronomy 31, where he promises to personally go ahead of us, so not to fear. James 1, where he says, if we lack any wisdom, he'll give it to us. 1 John 4, who says, we know how much God loves us, and as we grow in his love, his perfect love expels all fear. And if we fear, it's because we have not been perfected in his love. And so I guess as I thought about it, I don't know if it's so much if, what would it be like if Jesus were right here sitting with us? Or if the question is more, do we believe what Jesus has to say to us? I wonder, for myself anyway, if I sometimes allow the sort of temperature of my surroundings to make me forget who God is and what he can do. Like, do I walk into church this morning with this grabbing Brian? Brian, did you hear what God has done this week? Or do I walk into church this morning and be like, oh man, there's so much snow. I sure hope the snow melts soon. Like, or do I walk in feeling very overwhelmed and anxious? And you know, I also want to say that if we do come in feeling that way, anxious and discouraged, I mean, that's why we meet. That's why we gather. But I'm trying to raise the bar so high we can't get over it. Like, that's how big God is. The bar is so high that there's no way we can jump over it. We can grab onto it, but we won't be able to jump over it. And as I said before, this is a sermon to myself. I guess I think it'd be possible to settle for almost like a bit of a miserable existence. Like, well, life's probably not going to get any better. People are going to struggle all the time. If you've got hard family things, I don't know. They might change. I don't know. So-and-so has always been like that. It's probably just going to be like that the rest of our lives. Well, there's going to be wars, you know, until Jesus comes back. Well, some of those things probably are true. But do we believe that things that God is actually doing and that actually the whole environment one day is going to change? Jesus is going to bring everything to completion. And in that day, heaven is coming. But until then, we have to believe what God is up to and ask for eyes to see what he's doing. I have a picture up here next, which I think describes this pretty well. And just before we get to the picture, well, let's just go to the picture. No, that's pretty cool, isn't it? It's even cooler than the photo because in reality, these trucks are traveling at 25 kilometers an hour backwards. So, quite something. Now, this guy, Mr. Van Damme, this was shot in 2013, and believe it or not, it's a commercial for Volvo. I mean, they must put a lot of work into their commercial there. And as I said, the trucks are moving in reverse at 25 kilometers an hour. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that split would be pretty painful. And if you fall from that position, that's even more painful. But sometimes I think that life is like that for us. Almost picture the truck on the whichever side you want, the left or the right, as being earth, and the truck on the other side as heaven. and we're like stretched out between the two. Some of us have let go of one truck, the heaven one probably, and we feel like life is falling apart and crumbling around us. And our split is, we're no longer even like touching the heavenly truck, you can say. And we're hanging on for dear life while life just takes us and whips us around. And I have another picture. But I wonder if as we believe God and as we see the things that God has written in Scripture and we latch onto that, I wonder if the trucks could get closer. In this commercial, actually, the trucks start close and they start spreading apart and the guy ends up in a split. But I wonder if for us, if it could go the opposite way, where we're split and strung out, trying to grip on, and heaven and earth kind of start to meet. God's kingdom starts coming down into our lives, and we see his work, and suddenly we're standing more upright. We're a bit more solid. You think that's possible? The Lord's Prayer goes like this, and this is something straight from Jesus. And we all know this prayer probably pretty well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you hear that? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we believe it's possible for God to accomplish his will on earth like he does in heaven? Well, we better, because Jesus told us to pray it. And if you look at what we read from Isaiah, it's this picture of God taking a situation and totally reversing it. God is in the business today of totally reversing situations, death to life. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I love that prayer because Jesus himself tells us to pray for his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. In the book of Luke, right after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes on to say this. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, all of you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you know how I said that I hope that my position today is a DJ. Get you amped up to see that God has this desire to bring his kingdom. This is there more question to reality in our lives. Does that not put a fire in your bones that the distance between heaven and earth could close a bit? That one day they're going to be merged together. The kingdom of heaven is going to come here and now in its fullness. I find it interesting that Jesus says to us to be persistent. I don't know about you, but I get discouraged about praying. Do you, Malachi? And I pray because I think it's the right thing to do, but on the other hand, I feel discouraged because I don't see big things happening. But Jesus here tells us to be persistent about it. He tells us to keep doing it. And he says that the Father will answer and will give it. But recently, I've had my perspective on prayer change just a little bit. I think sometimes that when I pray anyway, I start off with kind of like a bigger prayer, and as I pray, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller because I'm not seeing any results. And then I don't feel like praying anymore. But I think there may be something else sometimes going on too. And that is that we do actually live in a world that is controlled in many ways by the devil or by Satan. 1 John tells us that we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. Even Jesus in his temptation, Satan offered to Jesus to give him the whole world. Satan said, if you bow down to me, I'll give you the whole world. Jesus didn't say to Satan at that time, he's like, no, you can't. Clearly the devil Satan has some power, has lots of power. So I've begun to imagine this. What if instead of seeing our prayers as like starting bigger and getting smaller and smaller until we're like, oh, this isn't really working. What if we were to see them as Jesus making us into these glorious beings who are agents of light, agents of pushing back the darkness, agents at bringing God's kingdom here on earth now? What if we saw ourselves that way? Would that not inspire us to pray more? Would that not, again, like I said, put more of a fire in our bones? Now, I'm fully aware that even myself, as I prepared this sermon, I feel this like fire in my bones starting, and you meet me Monday morning, and I might feel entirely different about it. And that is why I think that we need each other. We have to have each other. We're not going to keep up this kind of spiritual fervor by ourselves. We need each other. When my faith is low, I'm going to need Caleb to come to me and say, Jeremy, God can do big things. When Caleb's faith is low, I'm going to need you to do the same with Caleb. But I did write down a few things that I think can help us maintain this spiritual fervor or this life of there is more. And these have been practical for me. These are things that I've started to do. Read and memorize God's word. In the summer, Alyssa and I rode to work a lot. And as we rode our bikes down Gulf Links Road on the bike path there, I got my phone set up with my on a holder on my bike, and I'm trying to memorize as I go. And I did. I managed to memorize quite a few verses. I'll tell you something. When you're feeling discouraged, there's nothing quite like being able to pull a memory verse to mind. The difference is, before I had memorized, so there's a, in Deuteronomy, God says to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. I will personally go ahead of you. I will be with you. I will never fail you or abandon you. When I repeat that to myself when I'm feeling discouraged, I do not have an out. God says to my discouragement, do not be afraid or discouraged. Like, the difference before I memorized that verse was like, Well, yeah, I know that the Bible talks about not being discouraged, but it doesn't really necessarily apply in my situation, like, sort of excuse things. When you have a verse memorized, God says, do not be afraid or discouraged. I will personally go ahead of you. And so I don't know what thing maybe in your life, maybe it's not discouragement, maybe it's something else. Maybe seek the Lord for a verse that you might memorize. One that in the middle of that point, you can pull that out. And you can repeat it again and again and again and let it take root in your heart. So read and memorize God's word. This next one here, find a spiritual community in which you can be vulnerable. Talk about it for heaven's sake. I love putting heaven's sake in there because it's like the one time that it's really appropriate to use heaven's sake. For heaven's sake, talk about it. There's this sense in which when we come together and we share openly and in a setting of faith, that God does things among us that we will not get by ourselves. So for heaven's sake, get together, share with each other, and talk about it. I'm ready for the next slide. And worship. Again, this is another practical thing, and I wish I did better at this, but whenever I pull out my guitar and I sing, things happen. Sing. Don't just listen to music. Sing. Actually sing. Let people hear your voice. Let people, even if your voice isn't the best voice in the world, let them hear it. It does something. It really does something. And pray. Where we can, talk about our answered prayer. Like, when someone walks up to me and tells me that God has answered their prayer, Alyssa and I, just the other day, we have things in our family where we need God to do things. And we were discussing something, and we thought, we're just going to pray about this. Sure enough, a few weeks down the road, the very thing that we prayed for was happening. Talk about that with each other. Talk about prayer. Talk about answered prayer. And then finally, journal or meditate. Now, the reason I use that was I have a wise mentor in my life right now. And I was telling them how I felt discouraged, how I felt weary, how I felt sometimes it's hard to see God's movement in our lives. And they challenged me with this. They said, what if you were to notice the God things? What if you were to notice them? For example, could you notice when you go to the dentist that the care that you receive, supposing it's good care, the care that you receive is a gift from God? Could you notice when the sun rises tomorrow morning that that's a gift from God? Could you notice when you look at the snow that the thousands and billions of snowflakes are all individual and different? Could you notice God in that? Or do we just go on our day feeling overwhelmed and anxious and forgetting that our wife sitting beside us or our friends or our coworkers are actually gifts from God? Could we look at the kind things that they do and realize that that's a gift from God? And could we let these things become a fire inside of us, filling us with an awe and wonder of who God is? At this time, I'm just going to call the worship team back up, and I'm going to ask that question again. Is there more? Do you think that there's more? Later in one of the chapters in Isaiah there, it says, God says to the people, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? Brothers and sisters, friends and family, there is more. There is much more. Would you join me in getting a fire in my bones? Would you be the one to come up to me when I'm feeling like things aren't happening? And would you help ignite that fire in me? Would you be part of each other as we light the fire in each other's bones? Let's grab a hold of what God is saying to us, and let's believe together. What we've seen is nothing. It is nothing compared to what God is going to do. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you for you. God, I pray that you would fill us with the ability to hear your Spirit, to see you move, Lord, to see you move in the small things and to see you move in the big things. Would you ignite our faith? Would you move mightily among us? Father, we know that you have a plan to restore all things. You have a plan to bring justice on the earth. You have a plan to right all those that have been wronged. You have a plan to bring the widows and the orphans into joy and comfort. And so, Lord, as we look at what you're doing, help us to see it and know it and experience it. Help us to pray. Help us to expect you and pray boldly for great things, Lord. Father, I thank you for everyone here this morning. Would you bless them? Would your peace rest on them, Lord? And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.